AM 620 WZON. Let's kick off the second hour of the show by talking sports media. It has been an interesting couple of weeks and really an interesting 24 hours on the national scene. With more on that, we're joined on the phone by Matt Yoder of awfulannouncing.com. Matt, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rich. Thanks for having me.
Oh, always great to talk with you, and especially when things are red hot. And Colin Cowherd, who has a tendency to stick his foot in his mouth and say ridiculous things, has done it again. And you've got a great column up on the website right now talking about the fact that Major League Baseball came down harder on him for his comments than his employer did.
Yeah, the funny thing about Colin Cowherd is he is a fantastic radio talent. I don't think even the harshest critics of Colin Cowherd would deny that, because carrying a three-hour national radio show by yourself is not an easy feat. But so many times he says these kind of lazy, stereotypical, harmful things about people groups that just get him into so much hot water, and it's so unnecessary. His latest comments about Dominican baseball players kind of insinuating their intelligence or lack thereof was just really unnecessary, really out of left field. And the funny thing about these comments is they come at a time when Cowherd has already announced on his radio show that he's leaving ESPN. We know his destination is Fox Sports, although that hasn't been announced publicly yet. So we're at this weird point where ESPN has kind of done the rare thing of slapping Cowherd on the wrist publicly. Traditionally, they haven't responded at all to the backlash of any of his previous comments. And now we have Major League Baseball taking the rare step of releasing a statement demanding that Cowherd apologize. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to put two and two together here when you realize Fox is MLB's biggest partner. They have the World Series, the All-Star Game, the postseason, all these things. So if anything, it's very interesting to see this relationship between Cowherd and Fox Sports and now MLB really getting off on the wrong foot. And it does make you wonder, Rich, will Colin Cowherd be on thinner ice at Fox Sports now that this controversy is happening at this time than he ever was at ESPN, where he was really insulated and protected from any of the criticism that came his way?
Well, and I agree with you. He's an immensely talented guy, but what has annoyed me with more frequency in the last couple of years as a listener of his show is that he goes off on these pseudo-intellectual rants. You know, he read two Malcolm Gladwell books, so now he's an expert on society and draws ridiculous conclusions.
There is such a list of these comments where Colin Cowherd, for whatever bizarre reason, puts on his amateur sociologist hat and tries to break these things down that are so far outside of his realm of expertise in sports. And it's not only that, Rich, it's how ill-informed the rants are. Mm. He went on this rant a few years ago before New Orleans hosted the Super Bowl about how it was the least safe major city in America. There's no evidence to back that up. He talks about how Southern culture is to blame for the fatal accident between Tony Stewart and Kevin Ward. Talking about a guy from the Northeast and a guy from Indiana, just example after example. Roger Goodell is a father figure to black NFL players. All of the things that he says about John Wall, they are just so nonsensical, so not based in reality. It really is a wonder how he can do this time and time and time again and really escape some of the punishment and the discipline we've seen come towards other ESPN personalities for similar controversial remarks.
And what I wonder, Matt, going forward, because there is talk of him being involved perhaps in either the pregame show or the pre-pregame show for Fox NFL coverage, he can sometimes get away with making ridiculous statements and has been getting away with them to a radio audience. But NFL consumers strike me as being people who will not tolerate somebody who uses facts carelessly.
Well, I think maybe even more significantly, the NFL itself will not tolerate that. If there's any league that puts the most pressure and has the most control over what its television partners do, it's the NFL. I mean, it's no secret. We reported a couple of weeks ago that there were definitely some NFL-inspired motivations behind ESPN being willing to part ways with Keith Olbermann. So if you look at Colin Cowherd maybe having an NFL role at Fox Sports, what does happen if he goes off the boil a little bit? That's what makes this case so unique, Rich, is that, you know, we actually see MLB, Major League Baseball, demanding an apology from a national commentator. That is incredibly rare to see. And we know how harsh the NFL is in terms of controlling their message. So what does happen if Colin Cowherd says something that the NFL doesn't like? I can imagine that they'd be too happy with it. So that'll be very interesting to see as Cowherd's role kind of reveals itself at Fox, and if he steps into one of these things again, given his history, I mean, it's pretty much a no-brainer at this point. Just how will Fox and how will that particular league react?
We're talking with Matt Yoder of Awful Announcing. We found out this week the landing point for Bill Simmons. Do you think HBO is a good spot for him?
From a television perspective, it's really perfect because HBO not only offers him the outlet to do this weekly TV show that he so badly wants to do and have that platform every week like a Bill Maher or a John Oliver, it allows him to do what may be his most valuable commodity, and that is the behind-the-scenes work with the documentaries. HBO Sports, not too long ago, was the king in the sports documentary field, and ESPN lapped them several times over based on the work that Bill Simmons did with 30 for 30 at ESPN. What Simmons offers is totally unique in the sports media in terms of his columns, his podcasts, his audience, and Twitter followers. But really, I think the highest quality work he's done is being involved in the launch of 30 for 30. So aside from that television show, if he can bring HBO back to prominence with those documentaries, it'd be a home run for them. I do wonder about the weekly show, just how good it'll be. Will it? You know, I don't know if Bill Simmons really has the gift to get on there and do a monologue like John Oliver or provoke a conversation like Bill Maher, give a thoughtful essay like Brian Gumbel. I think as far as everything Bill Simmons does, his on-air TV presence may be the weakest part of his game, but I think it will offer him the opportunity to do something that he could never do at ESPN, and that's finally tell us what he really thinks about Roger Goodell. So at least we can all look forward to that uncensored Bill Simmons at HBO.
Well, it's fascinating to watch what's happening here at ESPN, and you folks had a wonderful column a week and a half or so about the financial problems that they're facing, the need to cut hundreds of million dollars in their operating budget over the next couple of years. Now, yes, they lose Cowherd, Olbermann, Simmons. That's a nice chunk of change, but it doesn't even approach what they have to cut in expenses, and that has to come from things like rights fees for broadcast. So what does the future hold for ESPN at a time when they're dealing with cord cutters everywhere?
It's a real inflection point in the entire industry, Rich, because of, as you mentioned, these cord cutters. As the cable subscribers go down, one of ESPN's main sources of income is at $6-7 per subscriber per month that they make in cable fees. And if you read the great epic tome, Jim Miller's book, Those Guys Have All the Fun, which is a complete history of ESPN, he nails down, you know, what former ESPN president George Bodenheimer did in getting that compound interest for those cable fees and having them increase exponentially over time, so much so that ESPN is about $5 or $6 more dollars per month per subscriber than any other network in cable television. ESPN, you would think, it is so big, so powerful, so rich that they could print their own money. But we're finding out that because sports rights fees are increasing so much, and we had a breakdown of the website, you know, $100 million here for Wimbledon, $100 million there for the U.S. Open, you know, tens of millions of dollars over here for MLS, hundreds of millions of dollars for the new college football playoff, not to mention the increases into the millions and billions for the NFL and the NBA and Major League Baseball. That adds up, those millions and billions of dollars. So ESPN has got to find a way to cut costs somewhere now. You're right when you say that the contracts of Olbermann and Simmons and Cowherd coming off the books isn't going to put a huge dent in it, but it certainly won't hurt. The bigger story will be to see what ESPN will and won't be able to bid for anymore. Do they lose some of that exclusivity in terms of just how many rights fees they have? Because right now, for the last generation, ESPN has been the default home for sports fans. They lose some of those rights if they can't afford them anymore and they're spread a bit more evenly. Does that increase the actual competition and threat to ESPN's position as a self-proclaimed worldwide leader in sports? And then production costs, you know, leaving announcers and production crews behind in Bristol, cutting back on some web and digital properties, so many implications here. It'll be very interesting to see just how hard ESPN is hit and how much they do have to cut back, not just with the increase in rights fees, but the increase in cord cutters, too.
Fascinating times. Matt, we absolutely love the website. Must read for anybody who's interested in sports media and the behind-the-scenes workings. Always great talking with you. Thanks again for making time for us.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Rich.
Matt Yoder, awful announcing here.